Dr. Andrew Connolly from Counties Monaco, and particularly from Middlemore. He's the Chief Medical Officer for Te Whatu Waters Health New Zealand. Thanks for joining us on the program once again, Andrew. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Great to be with you and the listeners again.
Kia ora. I appreciate you joining us. Let's start with some good news. A new ambulance. One of seven of its type in the country is helping those with complex health needs, and including people who are carrying a lot of weight. Tell us more about this new ambulance, please.
Well, it's one of, I think, seven or eight in the country, and it's specifically designed, as you said, to help people with really excessive weight. And this is both to help patients and also obviously help the ambulance staff. So I haven't personally seen the ambulance, but seen photos of it, and it's got all the it's a normal ambulance, except it's got these very sort of helpful systems to lift patients and transport them safely to hospital. So it will speed up, I think, transport of people when they're very ill, and it also, of course, protects our staff from injuring their backs and things like that when they're helping people whose weight is significant. So really good thing to see.
We're seeing, seeing a lot more people getting bariatric surgery. This is effectively shrinking the stomach so that people who have been carrying weight for most of their lives, to be honest, can live a healthier life. But it does seem that many are having that done privately. Is bariatric surgery available in the public system, and in what circumstances, Andrew?
Yes, it is available. It's fair to say it was available a lot more before COVID. During COVID, there was very little bariatric, in fact, perhaps no bariatric surgery done for a very long time, mainly because the risks of, say, catching COVID when you are very obese and particularly if it's had effects on your lungs, the obesity's had effects on your lungs, it was considered, you know, dangerous to be doing the surgery. So it is starting up again, but there's also a very important advance in medications, so medicines to almost, we believe, achieve the same thing as the surgery for some patients. So what we know is that when you've got excessive weight, it can cause other health problems. So the other health problems that we know do very well with either bariatric surgery or with these new drugs are particularly diabetes. And this is the diabetes associated with obesity, not the diabetes that a small number of people have where the body just doesn't make enough insulin. This is the most common sort of diabetes is associated with obesity. So we know it's very helpful for that, very, very good for breathing problems related to obesity, and so on. So what we've done at Counties is we've got a new program starting, which is looking at whether our advice to people is best to go down the surgical route or to go down the medicines route. We're also doing a lot of work in the northern region here to have a coordinated system between the four districts so that we get away from the problem of where you live, making it easier or harder to get in to see the experts. Now, we've got a mighty long way to go, and unfortunately, the number of people with bad obesity that's affecting their health is vastly more than the number of people we can see at the moment, but we're really quite excited to try and get this service up and running again and to make it an even better service with more choice for patients.
You know, a lot of people think that it's, because of your own lifestyle, so, handle the jandle. But it's more than cosmetic, isn't it? It's not just wanting to be thinner, because obviously people carrying a ton of weight, the pressure on their organs is significant. So in many ways, bariatric surgery is life-saving surgery.
Certainly is. So either the bariatric surgery or these new drugs. So we just can't, we cannot justify in the public system offering, say, bariatric surgery just because someone a bit fat and doesn't like the way they look. And it sounds brutal, but we have to focus on those people whose health is really suffering. So that's the diabetes, the breathing, problems with joints, you know, so arthritis, particularly in younger people. And, you know, these become lifelong problems. And look, the reasons people get big in the first place, it's often because, you know, unfortunately, you know, certain takeaway foods or the high sugar foods or the high fat foods might be cheaper. And it's just realistic for how people have to get through life. And, you know, we need to see it as a community problem. And we really hope to see, you know, if we can start to get good exercise programs, really keep encouraging the kids to play sport, all these sorts of things, it all helps, because we should see the bariatric surgery or these drugs as sort of the last resort, and we want to really get into prevention, but that takes time. So at the moment we've got really good results from our bariatric surgery, but we can only do so many, and the demand is massive compared with the number we can get done.
Preventable hospital admissions for babies and preschoolers are up by 35%. Is that affecting Middlemore, and what actions needed to address that?
Yeah, it is affecting Middlemore. It's affecting everywhere, Dale, unfortunately, all the districts in the country. So the definition of this, and I don't quite know how we work it out, to be honest, but it's where we think as healthcare experts, where we think a kiddie could have avoided coming into hospital if we'd been able to do something different, you know, in the community, so through general practice or other community care services. And I think what we're seeing is just the pressure on the health system and the pressure on just everyone in the community to, you know, with cost of living and things, you know, there might be people who are working more than one job and it's harder to get the kids off to the doctor. We know that it's hard to get into the doctor, and the GPs are working really hard, but we're short of them. So it's lots of different factors. What we've seen at Middlemore is an increase in the number of kiddies coming in. And we've also seen that the ones who do need to come into hospital often a little bit sicker than they might have been, say, last year when they came to hospital. So we obviously at the hospital focus on getting them better straight away, but I think it goes to all the stuff we've heard before about how we need to work, you know, across the whole spectrum. So we need, you know, healthy houses, we need good food, we need more GPs. It's a whole, you know, the whole system needs to get well integrated to try and avoid these admissions. So again, hard to turn this around quickly, but a lot of work going on to do so.
Thanks very much. Just finally, Andrew, I noticed headlines, even in today's dailies, that long COVID support is lacking and that fatigue's a common symptom and people are going to work while unwell. We know that there have been nearly 4,000 new cases of COVID reported in the country over the past week, 30-odd deaths attributed to the virus, and that there is a review of how COVID was addressed in this country. What might you say of the Royal Commission of Inquiry or making submissions to, and have we still obviously a long way to go, just as long COVID is little understood?
Yeah, a long way to go, Dale. We've seen a bit more COVID coming into Middlemore recently. I do know, personally know a few staff are off at the moment with COVID. So it's still out there, it's still around, still a potentially dangerous disease. In terms of the Royal Commission, they've got a really important job. Obviously they're sort of looking in hindsight about how we responded as a country, but I also hope that we'll learn important lessons for future problems, because, you know, these sort of viruses can obviously come out of nowhere at any stage. So, you know, I hope that, I don't envy their work, it's a huge task. I'm not sure how people make submissions. I hope from the health point of view they're able to look at how the health system responded, and we can learn from that. Obviously, there'll be people who want to make submissions on, you know, things such as lockdowns and stuff, and that's a related bit. But from the health system point of view, it's, I think we know that we changed our approach to how much, how many people we saw for routine stuff or more less than emergency stuff during different lockdowns. So initially we didn't see many people at all. Then we started to realise it was safer to be seeing people. Then we realised it was safer to be doing a bit more surgery on people. So, you know, I think as long as we keep learning, we're positioning ourselves better for any future problems.